When Kurt Cobain killed himself in 1994, Nirvana fans and the music industry were stunned, but maybe not that surprised. Just a month before, Cobain had been hospitalized for overdosing on pain pills. It might have been hard to imagine then that this troubled soul was at one time just this really happy little kid growing up in a small town in Washington State.
I'm Kurt Cobain.
Yay!
Go!
A new documentary about Kurt Cobain airs tomorrow night on HBO. It's called Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck, and it's directed by Brett Morgan. Cobain's daughter and his widow, Courtney Love, gave Morgan unprecedented access to Cobain's personal belongings, journals, artwork, and audio diaries. When Morgan realized just how much material Cobain had left behind, he thought he could find a way to let those diary entries and drawings speak for themselves.
I realized that we could tell the story of Kurt's experience in life in the best way that he was able to communicate it, which is his art. And one thing about Kurt is he was, before he was a musician and before he was a rock star, he was an artist, and an artist with a capital A. And he would work in any medium available to him, whether that was music or audio collage or painting or sculpting, journal writing. And what I realized by the time I had evaluated and gone through all the stuff was we had an opportunity to allow Kurt to tell the story in the best way he could through his art. And in a way, he had left behind a visual and oral autobiography of his life. And it was just there for me to curate.
This is a young man. He's making his art. He's using that as a mechanism to express what's happening to him emotionally. And he is documenting this as he goes. As you have said, he's doing it through his art. But also, he's keeping audio diaries. I want to play one particular clip of a diary, a pivotal moment for him.
I couldn't handle the ridicule, so I got high and drunk and walked down to the train tracks and laid down and put two big pieces of cement on my chest and legs, and I waited for the 11 o'clock train. And the train came closer and closer and closer, and it went on the next track besides me instead of over me.
You've embellished that with some sound effects, but this is his voice, right? This is Kurt Cobain recounting an attempted suicide.
You know, everything in this movie is Kurt. That tape was recorded, I believe, in 1988. He had wrote the story out in a journal, and then he took to a microphone to record it. And from everything I know, he threw that in a box, and there it sat until 2012 when I discovered it. And it's remarkable for several reasons. You know, here we have Kurt Cobain discussing a failed suicide attempt at the age of 14. So given what happened to him in the end, that certainly would cause one to take a second look at it. He's performing the tape. So even this story becomes a work of art, no different than a song. And lastly, what really triggered the whole sort of narrative was that last line. It's not so much that he was attempted to commit suicide, but why? And those words, guilt, shame, humiliation, were illuminated everywhere. They were in songs I've sung since the 80s that I never really thought twice about. Songs like Floyd the Barber, where the chorus is, I was shamed, I was shamed, I was shamed.
There's a moment in the film, it's the early 90s, he meets Courtney Love, and the two of them have this crazy connection. Turns out to be a fairly dysfunctional relationship. Drugs were a big part of their dynamic. They had a baby, Francis Bean. The footage from that time is really intimate. Do you think he liked being a dad?
Oh, I think he loved being a dad. I think Kurt was, without question, the more maternal of the two.
Between him and Courtney.
Yeah, between him and Courtney. I mean, I once said to Courtney, was Kurt a good dad? And she said, well, he was a great dad for a heroin addict. And there's some footage, it's not in the movie, where he takes her, I think it's one of the first times he had her back at his house. And it's the tape goes on for like 2 hours, and it's just him holding her and looking in her eyes and petting her head. And it seemed, he seemed so comfortable in that context, in contrast to interviews and being on the stage and being the frontman of Nirvana.
What else should I be? All apologies. What else could I say?
did you approach his drug use? What did you want to say about it, or how did you think about it in the context of this project?
Well, I certainly wasn't going to try to make any statement about it. That's not how I work or operate. I wasn't trying to make a social issue film. Mm-hmm. But I think in part of the idea of presenting this story in an honest way, we needed to address it. And there's a scene that people have been talking quite a bit about where Kurt and Courtney are trying to give Frances her first haircut. And Kurt is very heavily sedated. He's got blemishes all over. He's emaciated. And he's falling asleep while he holds his daughter in his hands.
So tired.
I'm tired.
Get my eyes open.
Kurt, you don't want your daughter to see you behaving like this.
I'm not on drugs. I'm tired.
It's horrific, and it is something that nobody wants to see. When I screened the film for Kurt's mother and sister for the first time, they were horrified, as one would expect. I think Wendy Cobain would have preferred, and I don't blame her, a more rose-tinted view of Kurt. But it wasn't Wendy's story to tell. It was Frances's. And I was operating off her desire to tell the story in an honest way.
And how did she feel about it?
She never blinked. But I'll share something with you. Kim Cobain, Kurt's sister, was very upset and said to me, "You know, my brother was really embarrassed about his heroin use. Do you think he would want this in the film?" And I said, "You know, Kim, the one thing you've always shared with me is that Kurt's biggest fear was that he would inspire or influence kids to do heroin. And I don't think there's anything in this picture that's romanticizing it. In fact, if anything, it's doing the opposite."
You didn't know him, right? You'd never met Kurt Cobain.
I never met Kurt Cobain, but I felt like I got to know him in a manner probably more intimate than anyone I've known outside of my family.
Did your perspective of him change?
Absolutely. I am continue to this day to be in awe of his ability to connect with people. I mean, what's so sad and tragic about his story is I think that in many ways, Kurt felt very alone. I've heard every now and then a criticism, why are we still talking about him? You know, he was a druggie who did 3 albums. No, that is not true. He is a man who has brought comfort to generations of people all over the world. It's almost like a rite of passage when you turn 12 and 13 and you look at your parents with different eyes. You have Kurt, and he's singing about your experiences. There are collective experiences. And I think that is why we're sitting here talking about him today.
Brett Morgan is the director of Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck. It airs tomorrow night on HBO. Brett, thanks so much.
Thank you.